We're holding on Membezum at Aleph, the 5 lines from the top. We started discussing, the Gemara discussed yesterday that we said the pasuk of the Baal Asher Naki, that when a tam gores and kills a person, we say the owner of the Asher is the killed, or Baal Asher Naki. So we said we said so far a couple of lemudim that you can learn from those words of Baal Asher Naki. One possibility was we learned from that the concept of the shur, or even the skin of it, is also bana, even if you shechted it after the mardin before it actually got skila. Then we mentioned the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, who says that naki means that the owner is free from chati kofer. He wouldn't have to pay, he has to pay full kofer. If it was a mord, he doesn't pay anything if it was a tam. Now we're going to have more drashas on the Baal Asher Naki. Tanya Yidach, we learn in another braisa, when the pasuk is Baal Asher Naki, it means that the owner is free from having to pay dmei vlodos. If a woman was pregnant, meaning the Torah the Torah describes a few psukim earlier. You have a case where two people are fighting. One of them strikes a pregnant woman and makes her miscarry. The din is that the Torah says that the guy has to pay kasher yoshes ala bala isha according to the amount that's evaluated by Beis Din together with the woman's husband, and then that amount is paid to the woman. Well, actually, it's shared between her and her husband. We'll talk about that tomorrow. No. Our mitzvah would be if you killed an actual independent person. The shogeg here was unborn children. No, there's no arimitha for that. It's just a monetary payment. So the point is, Rabbi Yossi Aglili is saying that if a shur were to gore a pregnant woman and make her miscarry, you wouldn't pay dmei vlodos.
Why would you pay dmei vlodos if you don't pay when a shur?
When a person hits the pregnant woman and makes her miscarry. Which, by the way, as we go through the Gemara, we'll see there can be two variations in that. One can be where the guy meant to hit somebody else, and in the case of the pasuk is that two people are fighting and one of them hits a pregnant woman. So you can have one possibility where he intended to hit the other guy and by accident he missed and hit her. Or you can have a case where he actually taka intends to hit her, but he didn't intend to kill her. He didn't intend to make her miscarry either, for that matter, but that happened. So that's what Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, that from Baal Asher Naki, we're learning that there's no dmei vlodos in this case. Amalei Rabbi Akiva, Harei Omer, you don't need that limud. You have the pasuk anyway. It says ki yinotu anoshim minog purisha. The pasuk says when people are fighting and they strike a pregnant woman, implying from that alone we can learn anoshim v'leshvarim. It means only if people are fighting, not if oxen are fighting. So what do we need your Baal Asher Naki to teach us that?
Nothing
includes Shavarim, yeah. Right. Okay, Gemara says, yeah, Shafir Kamer Rabbi Akiva. Okay, doesn't Rabbi Akiva Taka have a good point? Why indeed does Rabbi Yitzchak really have to have a separate limud for it? Amar of Ula Breidin of Idi Itzrich. Still, we do need the limud from Baal Asher Naki. Because, talk about the Chamina, Anoshim v'lo Shavarim Adromin La'anoshim. Because if you only had the Potter, the Chiyinatu Anoshim, then you would think that okay, you're saying it means people, but not shvarim, but not oxen. But it would have to be a case where the oxen are similar to people in a certain regard. Namely, ma anoshim mu'adin. Listen, ma anoshim mu'adin. Just like a person is always mu'ad, other mu'adlarim, as we learned previously, af shvarim mu'adin. So you would think also, if all you had was the mi'ud from anoshim, you would think, therefore, that it implies when is the Torah pattering the owner of a shur from paying dmei vlodos if the shur was a mu'ad. Similar in that sense, it's similar to anoshim. Potam michayev. You would think maybe if the animal was tam, maybe you should be chayev with dmei vlodos. And therefore the Torah Taka needed to tell us Baal Asher Naki that even if the animal is a tam, and therefore very dissimilar to a person, not only is shur not a person, but it's also tam as opposed to mu'ad, even then no dmei vlodos. A person is always mu'ad, exactly. Anoshim just means men. I mean, it doesn't mean men as opposed to women, it just means people.
Right.
Yeah. The The point is that's what Rav Ola is arguing. Is maybe, in other words, so you, when you think about it, you have three possible cases. You have when a person hits this woman, you have when a shur who's a muad hits her, and you have when a shur who's a tam hits her. Fine, a shur that the muad is much more similar to a person. Therefore, the Torah would have to tell us anoshim implying but not shvar. But how would you know that a shur that's a tam, which is in two ways dissimilar from people, not a muad and being a shur rather than a person, may be taki yubisayev. Therefore, you also need the word. Therefore, you also need a bala shur naki to tell us otherwise.
You would not say for muad and you would say for tam.
Ah, so, okay. So the obvious question is why? How? What's the logic of that? Which the Gemara is going to ask you in a question. However, Tosfos explains that Rav Ola's point is maybe what the Torah means, maybe what we would understand the Torah to be saying is you're going to be chayav for dmei vlodis when you're tam. You're not going to be any more chayav when it's a muad. Again, we have the point is, in other words, we have the concept that we discussed the other day, and we're going to discuss at the end of the paragraph, points of Yehuda, we have the concept that tzad tamus in koimah emedes, that when an animal becomes a muad, the fact that it was a tam still remains in place. You're just adding on top of it the concept of it being a muad. So maybe over here you would have... Well, a point of Yehuda, that applies across the board. For example, we said there that it meant a point of Yehuda, it means the first half of the nezek is only paid in the gufa. The second half is paid in the haliyah. Here we might apply a similar idea. The animal, yes. Let's assume the Torah is implying that the owner of the animal is chayav for dmei vlodis when the animal is a tam. It won't become any more chayav when it's a muad. It won't become chayav in any more payment than it was when it was a tam. That's the point. Not to say that it would be potter after being a tam, that becoming a muad would then make it potter, but it would be potter in the sense that being a muad doesn't make it any more chayav than it was when it was a tam.
So that's the question. Why not?
We could argue that that's what the Torah is implying. Sometimes you have. I mean, so, you know, again, the same way as the point of Yehuda, Tzat Tamus Ben Koyma Emedet. And again, that when the animal becomes a muad, there's a certain aspect of that still...
It doesn't exclude the Tzat Amor.
No, but... Okay, so all we would be saying over here is the animal becomes chayav in dmei vlodis when it's a tam, and it retains that chiyuv when it's a muad, but doesn't add to it. Nothing else is added by it being a muad.
But it thought that it would make my tam.
Yes, that's the argument. That's why you need the pasuk. However, Omar Rava, still, Rava says, what's the logic? What's the logic? The native-born citizen should be on the earth, and the stranger, the foreigner, should be in the highest heavens. It's an expression in a few places in the Gemara, meaning that it's actually taken from a Lashon HaPasuk. It's actually taken from a Lashon of Targum in the Tosafot, where it's one of the curses in the Tosafot is just that you'll be way down in the Ger, the Goyim, or inhabiting Eretz Yisrael will be way up, and you'll be way down socially. But here and in other places, the Gemara means it as a figure of speech, meaning what's the logic? Why would you think that in the case of a tam it should be chayiv, in the case of a muad it should be potter, or potter of any more?
Yeah. My question.
Okay. Ella, Amar Rava, so no. Rather, Rava says, it's just fine, but we still need the limud from a Bala Shonaki, and we can't just use the limud from Anoshim Balishvarim, because let's take it a different angle. Faket, Sakudai Dachamina, Anoshim Balishvarim, Adomim Anoshim. Again, fine, let's use Rav Ola's Svara, that when it says Anoshim implies that it's excluding only the case of a Shur which is similar to people. Again, let's argue man noshim muadin afshvarim muadin. So we would argue fakert. We would say just like okay, not well. We would say that just like people are always muad, other muad are them. So the shur has to be muad as well. And the Torah would be implying then that a shur that is muad would in fact be potter from dmei vlodis. The kavachoyim of tam and dibtiri, and we would say a kavachoyim of a muad is potter. How much more so a tam is potter? Then Hodr Kosav Rachmana Bala Shonaki. However, then Rava argues, but then no, the Torah comes and tells us that the Bala Shur is exempt. Right. Implying from Dmei Vladis, but only Tam Potter or Mordechayev, telling us that actually if the, that actually we do not make this drasha of Anashim V'lo Shvarim. The Ubala Sharnoki sort of would come to undo the drasha of Anashim V'lo Shvarim. It would tell us that ultimately the, what we would say is if the animal was Tam, you attack a Potter, but if the animal was Mord, you would be Chayev in Dmei Vladis. So when Rabbi Yossi Aglili is saying Naki mid Mei Vladis, Rava's understanding is that he would say he's only Naki mid Mei Vladis if the animal is attacked. If it's a Mord, the attacker will be Chayev. So not like Rav Ola's explanation that he'll be, that if it's a Tam, he's Potter, if it's a Mord, he's Chayev.
Right.
Yeah. So not like Rav Ola's explanation that he'd be Potter in both cases, but rather we would say attacker, if the animal is a Mord, he would be, the attacker would be Chayev. Tosfos discusses a little bit of it here, according to all that. Why Bechlal? Do you need the Pasuk Anoshim in the first place? Why Taka did the Torah have to mention Anoshim in the case of the two people fighting? One thing Tosfos points out is that if it only said Bala Shon Naki, you would think like Rabbi Eliezer's Limud Naki Mechatzi Tofu, you wouldn't know anything about Dmei Vladis. Wait, we're not done with halacha yet. We're not up to there yet. Omalei Abaya. However, Abaya asks Rava, Elamei Ata Gabi Boishes Nami Neima Hachi Anoshim Velo Shvurim Adomim La Anoshim. So what would you say then in that case? What about the case of Boishes, where we established before in the Masechta, and we will have in greater detail later on in the eighth parak, that there's no Boishes when a shur causes damage to a person. So you're going to say the same thing. Are you going to say the same kind of limud? Anoshim v'lo shvarim adomim la'anoshim. By boshes, also the Torah uses the word anoshim, because the case where we learn about the concept of boshes is another case in the Torah, in Parshas Kisei, when two people are fighting and the wife of one of them comes to try to save her husband and then causes boshes to the other guy. And the pasuk is the katsosa kappa, from which we learn that she pays a monetary amount, which is boshes. So they're also using the word. They're also using the word anoshim. The pasuk over there is also the pasuk over there is ki yinotzo anoshim yachdav yishvach. If two people are fighting, the kova ishes ha'efad lahatzal v'tishem yad makeir. The wife, one of them comes close and intervenes in the fight to save her husband from the other guy. V'shochel yadav v'tzlichu b'mavushav. She grabs a hold of him in a sensitive area and thereby causes him boshes. The next pasuk says the chatzoyta is kapra. Literally, it means she cut off her hand. But we learn that primarily the pasuk is teaching us the concept of payment for boshes. You don't literally cut off her hand unless it's a different matter where she's a roidiv, which is actually endangering the guy's life. Then taki, you cut off her hand to save the guy's life. But we're not dealing with that. But in general, we learn from this the concept of boshes. So there also the pasuk says anoshim. So would you learn the same way, Anoshim B'le Shvarim Adomim La'Anoshim, that again, the Torah is coming to imply not oxen who are in that sense similar to people, Ma Anoshim U'odin, Ap Shvarim U'odin, V'kav V'choyim L'tam Adiptiri. And so you'd try to do the same limud. That either the Torah is implying that an ox, which is similar to a person and being a muad, would be potter from boshet. Kavachomer tam would be potter. And hoder kotzer rachmana bala shonoki. However, then the Torah says bala shonoki, implying that tam potter or muad chayev, that if the animal is a muad, you taka or chayev. That if the animal is a muad, you taka or chayev for boshet. Are you going to say then that Rabbi Yosi Aglili is going to hold that way? That you pay boshes for the if a shur, that if a shur causes boshes to a person, you would pay boshes?
No, we said,
Rabbi Yosi Aglili is a Tame. He's entitled to argue with the shittas that we said until now that said that you don't. However, we have a different issue. So you might answer, maybe yes, maybe Taka Rabbi Yosi Aglili holds, unlike everyone that we said so far, that maybe yes, you are responsible for boshes when you shur causes boshes. The problem is, Yehachi, listen, Bala Shonoki, Rabbi Yitzhak Lili, I'm a potter mid-mei vladis, umi boshes. In that case, then Rabbi Yitzhak Lili should say that when I'm learning from Bala Shonoki, not only that the owner of the shur is potter from mid-mei vladis, but also that he's potter from boshes. And we would understand, like Rava is saying, that he means only when the animal is tam, as opposed to when the muad.
That's what he said?
He said only mid-mei vladis.
I didn't mean, where are
we? We're on Membei Zemarawa.
Where?
Membe Zemarawa.
Membe.
Yeah, the line begins mid-May. It's about two-thirds of the way down the Amud.
What?
The line begins mid-May, about two-thirds of the way down the Amud. Okay. Rabbi said only said in the Braisa that he's called mid-May vlodis.
Right.
But the same word that you have in the Pasuk, mid-May vlodis, the same word, Anoshim, from which he's taking his whole Jerusha, Anoshim, below Shvarim, that same word you also have in the case of Boshim. So if you're going to say that if you're going to say Rava's way of learning the Limud, that Rabbi Yisrael really winds up saying that, Rabbi Yisrael really said Baal Asher Naki, but Rabbi Akiva points out you have a Noshim, Rav Shvarim, and presumably Rabbi Yisrael really has to agree that we need a Limud from each one of those things. The way Rava is looking at it, what we're saying is from a Noshim, we end up learning that from a Noshim alone, we would learn that that the Baal Asher would always be Potter. From a Baal Asher, because Anoshim B'lei Shvarim, but from a Baal Asher Naki, we're bringing back in that in the case of a Mu'ad, you would be Chayev. By that logic, the same thing should apply to the case of Boshet. And then Rabbi Yisrael really should be saying, not only am I pattering the owner of the Shur from Dmei Velodis, I'm also pattering him from Boshet. And then Rava would come in and explain that means only if the animal is a town, not if it's a Mu'ad. And we don't see him saying that. So you can't say that's how we're doing the limit. So we're back to the question, why do we need, if Rabbi Akiva is pointing out that from Anoshim you can learn below Shvarim, then why does Rabbi Yisrael really need the words of Baal Asher Naki to teach us that the owner of the shirt is Potter from Dmei Vlodis?
That's what he thinks, but he didn't say it up front. He would have said it.
Yeah, no, there's no reason for him not to mention Boshet in that case. Abaya and Rava dami tavayu. So now, rather, let's give a different answer. Abaya and Rava both answer a different way. We learn like this. Anoshim, the difference is like this. If it's people that are involved, ein osin beisha yeonshu. So it depends. Now, the Torah starts by saying like this. When the Torah describes this case where the two people are fighting and one of them strike a pregnant woman and make her miscarry, the expression in the Torah is that you have two people fighting, they strike a pregnant woman and they make her miscarry. The passage continues, there is no osin. Now, what is osin? Osin means loss of life. Meaning that the woman herself was not killed. She miscarried, but she herself was not killed.
The baby was killed.
The baby was killed, but that's not considered osin. Osin is when there's loss of fully viable life, not unborn baby. As opposed to, the next plus continues, being osin yiyah, then there's nefesh tachat nefesh. So, when it comes to anoshim, ein osin b'isha ye'onshu. If there was no osin, meaning the woman was not killed, then they're punished financially. Then they have to pay the mevlodis. Yesh osin b'isha lo ye'onshu. But if there was an osin, if the woman herself was killed, they don't end up paying mevlodis because kam le b'drabimnei, because they're chayiv nisa for having killed. Well, not for the babies, but for the woman herself, they're going to be in principle they'd be chayiv nisa if there was edim b'atzra. And even if not, we had Tana Dvei Chizkiyah that we discussed the other day, and we also learned from Ksubas and in various places, who says, based on other psukim, based on a limud from other psukim, that when you have a case where you're potter on the grounds of kom libididabimine, if you're mazid, the same thing would apply even if the actual action took place b'shogeg. So in this case, if we hold like Tana d'Vechizkiyah, which we do, it's still chayev in the sense that there would have been a chiyuv nisa involved had it been mazid with Eidim Vahasra, and that, well, no, not mitzvah b'dishmayim necessarily.
It can't be Eidim Vahasra if it was accidental.
Right. The point is, in other words, kam lebe d'rabim, we're saying that kam lebe d'rabim, once you, what kam lebe d'rabim, we're saying applies when you have an action that was done that could have involved a chiyuv nisa. In that case, even if that same action was done b'shoyding, there's not necessarily mitzvah b'dishmayim involved. What happens to the person in that case is between him and the Eivishter. There may be Mitzvah B'Dishmayim, there may not be. The point still remains, Kom Le B'Dirabim, and they still apply. As long as it is something that there would have been a Chi of Mitzvah Spastin involved if it's B'Mezin and with Eidim B'Hasra. Therefore, applying that over here, we're saying that if there's Elov, if there's Osa, and if the woman ends up getting killed, then we apply Tanit Vecheski's rule. Therefore, the people are Potter and Jmei Blot, which is that the Shogig and Mezid are the same as far as Tom Levitt Adabine is concerned.
Only the potential of being.
As long as there's the potential of there having been misplaced, then yes. So that's what the Torah is telling us with the word anoshim, which then we learn from that the loy shvarim. However, the same thing does not apply to a shur. The afagav the yesh osin, even if the woman herself was killed, ye onshu. Nevertheless, the owner of the shur ought to be penalized by paying dmei blodet. Therefore, hader kasev rachmana bala shur naki the potter. Therefore, no. In order to tell us that not, in order to forestall that, the Torah tells us the bala shur naki to tell us that in fact he is potter from dmei blodet regardless. You would have thought that the owner of the shur should in fact be chayav for the dmei blodet, regardless whether the woman was killed or not, because with a shur, obviously there's no kamla to d'rabbanim, eh? So therefore, you would think that the owner of the shur should have to pay dmei blodet. Therefore, no. The Torah tells us the bala shur naki can tell us otherwise. Therefore, it comes out that you need both women. Maskepa Rav Ada Ba'Ava. However, Rav Ada Ba'Ava asks Amen to Abaye and Rav. Otuba Osin Talia Milsa. Why? Who says that the whole question of whether there's Dmei Vlodis, does it really depend only on whether the woman herself gets killed or not? But Kavana Talia Milsa. It actually depends on whether they intended, on what the intention was. Namely as follows. Rashi says like this. Rashi and Tosfos disagree on what... Let me explain the point of Rashi first. There's machloikus in Sanhedrin and a few other places in Shas between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim. Suppose that a person intends to kill Reuven and instead kills Shimon. Is he chayev miser or not? Rabbi Shimon says he's potter. Because the fact is, he didn't intend to kill Shimon, he intended to kill Reuven.
But he clearly killed somebody.
Nevertheless, Shimon says he's potter for mitzvah.
And he was our blood.
Right, thank you. I didn't remember that. Because when the Pasuk describes that a person is chayav mitzvah for killing somebody else, the expression is va'arav loy, that he lies in wait, but he ambushes him. Implying, according to the Chachamim, that it has to be, according to Rav Shimon, rather, it implies you have to have actually been intending the guy that you ended up killing. You have to have actually been, like, lying in wait, like, ambushing him, as opposed to the ambush.
He couldn't be lying in wait and ambushing him, except that he thought it was this guy.
That's the point. Rav Shimon learns from the word loy, but or loy, that has to
be.
Okay, it's manslaughter in that case, whatever.
No, it's not manslaughter.
Okay, whatever. The
intended to kill him.
The bottom line is...
You intended to kill the other guy.
No, that's irrelevant.
The point is, according to Rav Shimon, you're potter from mitzvah. Now, we were mentioning...
Because he killed the guy he didn't intend to kill.
Right, now...
Oh, he just killed somebody else.
Well, okay, but look...
No, he killed the guy he didn't intend to.
Right, now... Okay. When we learn Sanhedrin, Beth Hashem, we'll learn about it in detail. It's not so illogical. Wait. Okay. Now, if we combine... No, it wouldn't be considered a shogeg. You wouldn't go to the Ari Mikvah for it. It'd be shogeg kodeh v'mezid. You'd have to be washing your back from the goyel adot all the time. But you wouldn't be executed for it. Now, let's put that together, Rashi says, with something else. We just mentioned Tanav Dvei Chizkia, who says that when it comes to Kom Lebe D'Rabba Mine, it doesn't matter whether you're actually going to be Chayav Misa or whether you're just potentially would have been Chayav Misa. If we hold like that, then it doesn't... If we don't hold like Tana Dvei Chizkia, then it would mean, when would Kom Lebe D'Rabba Mine apply? Only if you're actually going to be Chayav Misa. Now, we put these two things
meaning kill the actual person
that you intended to, the maiden. Now, if we put those two things together, Rashi says, what you come out is like this. According to Reb Shimon, you're saying that if you meant to kill Reuven and you accidentally killed Shimon instead, you're going to be potter from mitzvah. And if we don't apply Tana Dvei Chizkia's rule, we would say that would make you chayev for any tashlumin that are involved in killing Shimon. Well, in this case, then, in other words, then you have the case where instead of replace Shimon with a pregnant woman, who you, again, you're fighting with the other guy, you intended to hit him, maybe even to kill him. By mistake, you hit her and you killed her. If we take these two things, if we say like Reb Shimon, and we say not like Tanat Vechizkiah, it'll come out that you'll be potter from Misa for her death, therefore you'll be Chayev Mamet. Well, then, in that case, the key thing is, so that's what about Rav is saying. So the key thing is not whether there's Osein or not, whether you're going to be Chayev in the Maid of Others. The key thing is what the Kavanah was. If you intended to hit her and you attack it and caused her to miscarry, then you're going to be Chayev for the Maid of Others. If you intended to hit her and kill her and you attack and killed her and then you're going to be Potter from the Maid of Others because some limited Abominate. But if you intended to kill the other guy because you're Chayev Misa, but if you intended to kill the other guy and by mistake you killed her, according to that way of looking at it, you're going to be Potter from Misa, therefore Chayev in the Maid of Others. So you see, because if we say you don't hold like Tanan Demetrius, yeah, and you do hold like Reb Shimon.
He wanted him, and he accidentally hit her, mm-hmm. So she lost the baby.
If she loses the baby and
he
no one
meets her,
that's
hit her.
No. What Rabbi Abba is arguing is like this: you can have the following scenario. You can have he intended to hit the other guy, and he hit her and made her miscarry. Nobody lost their life except for their unborn baby. Then for sure it's made lawless, no question about it. Another case, according to everybody. Then you can have a case where he intended to hit the other guy, he ended up accidentally hitting her and killing her. If we say like the Chachamim, you're going to be Chayev Misa anyway, because the fact is he killed her. If you don't hold like the Chachamim, but you do hold like Tanit Vechizkiah, you're going to be Potter from Misa, but you're also going to be Potter from Tashlomin, because come later did not. If you don't hold like a Chachamim, you hold like a Reb Shimon, and you don't hold like Tanit Vechizkiah, you're going to be Potter from Misa, and therefore you're going to be Chayev in the Maid of Lodis. So you see, Rabbi Abba Abba is saying that not necessarily does Maid of Lodis depend on whether the woman was killed or not. It depends on your Kavanah, who you were intending to hit.
Depends on the Shita
that you're... Right. So
how do we know what the Kavanah of the murderer is?
Well, you can see...
Tanit
Vechizkiah holds that once the Torah tells us the concept of Kom Levedid Adamine, then it applies as long as you have a case where potentially there's a Chiyuv Misa, regardless whether the Chiyuv Misa actually takes place or not.
Who says this?
Tanit Vechizkiah. That's Tanit Vechizkiah. We learned it the other day. He learns it from Sukkim. He learns it from Sukkim, also by Shoigig Kemezid, Onus Kirotin, etc.
Even without an act.
Yes. No, there has to be some kind of act.
No, I mean, yeah. But without an act, meaning without killing.
Yeah, well, no, that's what Rabbi Abba was saying. If nobody got killed, then for sure there's a Maid of Lodis. But if she gets killed, as long, there might even be a case where she gets killed, and you're still Chayev in the Maid of Lodis, because you're called to permit her. So therefore, the point is Rabbi Abba is saying, you're assuming that the key difference is whether the woman was killed or not, therefore you want to say that when a shur kills a pregnant woman or makes her miscarry, as the case may be, the Torah has to be mechadesh, that the owner of the shur is going to be part of him's Maid of Lodis. But we see it doesn't really depend on her getting killed anyway. It depends on Kavanah. So therefore, one, again, from the Chiyonatu Anoshim alone would be enough to be Mamaya to Shur. What do you need? You're back to what do you need? Balashur Anoshim. So that's how Rashi explains the question. Tosfos has a number of problems with that, including, okay, so Rabbi Ba'aba holds like Reb Shimon. So do Abaya and Rava necessarily have to hold like Reb Shimon? What kind of a question is that? Fine, they can answer according to Reb Shimon. You're right. We hold like a Chachamim. Besides, Tosfos says everybody holds like Tanit Vechizkiah. There's nobody who disagrees with him on that point. Show you committed it, etc. So therefore, Tosfos has a whole different explanation Abaya and Rava would argue fakir. If the shur taka was miscavered to hit the woman, maybe you would be chayav in the Maid of Lodis. And therefore, Rabbi Abba Abba comes in and asks the fact of the matter is, we see that it depends on kavana. It doesn't really matter whether for this purpose the woman is killed or not. It really depends on the kavana, who you intended to hit. It does depend on kavana.
A shur doesn't have a
kavana. No, a shur can have a kavana.
Where is Eli at
Fine. Well, that's what we mean. In other words, so in other words, he's arguing. He's arguing based on a the Gemara also discusses over there. The Gemara also discusses over there in Sanhedrin. The Gemara discusses over there the opinion of Rebbe, which evidently the other Chachamim do agree with the basic idea that. When it says v'nasatim nefesh tachas nefesh, that when the pasuk continues v'im osin yiyah, if the woman was killed, the pasuk says v'nasatim nefesh tachas nefesh, and Rebbe says over there it means mamon. It doesn't mean you actually kill the people. It just means they have to pay mamon. They have to pay the value, her own value to her yoshim, to her husband or her children or whatever it is. Therefore, in other words, so based on all that, Rabbi Abba is arguing it shouldn't really matter whether the shur was miscaven to the woman or not. Regardless, there's only going to be there would never be more than a chiyuv mamon anyway. So anashim is enough to tell us that that applies to anashim but not to shvarim. And again, back to what do you need bala shur not?
The shur, what do you mean? Again, back to the theme of the shur being miscaven. If it points to the thing is. And it went to kill a person, it was miscavenant.
That's the point. That's the point. That's the point. That's the point. According to Rav Adar Ba'Ava, even if the shur, Rav Adar Ba'Ava would say like this, if the people were miscavenant to the isha, then we would say still nefesh tachas nefesh means mum. Means that still they're going to be chayev mum. A shur since it says anoshim implies but not shvarim, then a shur would be potter on that grounds already. Again, you don't need a bala shur noki to tell us otherwise. That's the question. Elo amar of adar ba'ava. No. Let's learn as follows. Again, we're still back to the question. We're still trying to figure out why you need two different psukim, why you need anoshim and ubala shonam. So no, Rav Adar Ba'Ava says the limud is going to be as follows. Anoshim means ki niskavnu zelazeh. When you have two people who are fighting and one of them intended to hit the other one, afagav sheyesh osin beisha, so even if one of them missed and accidentally hit her and killed her, nevertheless ye'onshu. They're still going to be punished financially because, again, either the way Rashi learns, because we're going according to the Pshimin, Niskaven Larig Zev, Harig Zev, Potter, or because we're going according to Tosfos, that even if there's Osin and the woman, there's still only an Onish Mammon.
Yanshu sounds more like.
Yanshu means financial, because the Loshan Apostle says, Onish, Yanish, Kasha, Yashu, Solom, Bala, Isha. The Loshan Apostle says, Onish, Yanish means a financial penalty.
Yes, Onish is not financial.
Yeah. However, if they intended to hit her herself, they would not be punished because kamlei b'zidavim.
In that case,
kamlei
b'zidavim
means again. Either we would disagree with Tanitz veChizkiya and say that we would say given Tanitz veChizkiya, where there's an onish misa, there's no onish mamon. Therefore, in this case, if they're miskavna l'isha atma, then kom lebedid adamine, therefore lo yashu. Oh, right. Yes. The lo shvarim, however, we would say that by saying anoshim implies this is not true of shvarim, that feel in the skavna l'isha atma yashu, you would think if you only have that even if the shur intended to hit the woman herself, you would think that the owner of the shur should be chayev. So different than Abaye and Rabbah's limud, they wanted to argue that below shvarim means that it matters whether the woman gets killed or not. Rabbi Adar Ba'Ava is changing that to say that with the people, it would depend whether they intended to hit her or not. With the shur, we would argue based on the word anoshim either way. Kosev Rahmana bala shur noki the tiri. No, therefore, that is the chiddush, the word of bala shur noki, that even if the shur actually intended to hit her, and Taka ended up hitting her, and Taka ended up killing her, because bala shur noki means there's no mevot. So that was his way of learning. And in fact, when Rav Chage came from the south, meaning Eretz Yisrael in general, or maybe the southern part of Eretz Yisrael, also ba'aisi masnisi b'yodeh, he came from there, and he brought along with him a braisa in his hand. Tava said that Rav Adar Ba'Ava who explained the details of the limud exactly where Rav Adar Ba'Ava says.
In his place of birth.
The last thing that he said about the Bible said, yeah. So that Anosh, well, so we know the two, we know those Rabbi Kiva's Anosh and Veleshvarim, and then Rabbi Yitzchak leads to Bala Shonaki. This Braita spelled out what we're learning from each one of those two things, the way Rabbi Adabaab explained it. That from Anosh and Veleshvarim, that we learned from Anosh and Veleshvarim, that there's a difference, you would think there's a difference between Kavana and not Kavana, whether they intended to hit her or not. And Bala Shonaki clarified that even if the Shur had Kavana, you're still Bala. Tanya, we learn in another place. So that's Tosfos mentioned earlier in the sugya. There are reasons, after all, why you need the word anoshim in the pasuk. For one thing, because we had a limud before, and we're going to have various other limudim in this whole sugya about what else we learn from Bala Shonok. We said we may learn from it that even though the skin of the animal is also b'hana, we may learn from it that there's no chatzikofer in the case of a tam. If you didn't have the word anoshim, you wouldn't know, Rabbi Yitzchak really would argue, you wouldn't know that a bala shonaki has anything to do with Mev Lodis anyhow. So now another limud of what we can learn from a bala shonaki. Tani Yidach, bala shonaki, Rabbi Kiva, imun noki midmei eved. Rabbi Kiva says that it means that if a shur kills an eved, and if it's a tam, then the owner of the shur is potter from the value of the eved. Now the Torah tells us that if the shur is muad, kesef shloshim shkolim yitzim adono, they pay 30 shkolim, as the Mishnah had said, doesn't matter the value of the eved, regardless whether he's worth more than that or less than that. You pay a fixed amount of that to the owner of the eved, and the shur gets a stealer. So Rabbi Akiva is saying that when the Torah tells us by a tam, a bala shonaki, what we're learning from it is that if the animal were a tam, you're going to be potter from Dmei Eved. Naki, you're going to be exempt from Dmei Eved. Because he's saying, you have the Torah telling us the bala shonaki, the owner of the shor is naki, is exempt from something. What is the something? It's not going to be, so far we had a few things. We had the possibility it may mean the skin. Rabbi Akiva doesn't need that because he learns from S to start, S at top of the start, because he does doubt an S. Rabbi Eliezer had argued it means knocking the chassi kofer. Rabbi Akiva had argued to Rabbi Eliezer, you don't need that because already, of course, you can't pay chassi kofer. The animal itself is getting stealer. There's nothing to be paid. There's nothing to be paid out. So, okay, Rabbi Eliezer, for Enfer, there are cases where the shur doesn't get stealer, then you might think you're chayv chassi kofer. Rabbi Akiva does not have to accept those explanations. Nor does he have to accept Rabbi Yitzchak Lili's, because again, Rabbi Yitzchak Lili found it necessary to have the Drosha Anoshim and the Drosha Bala Shonaki. Rabbi Akiva doesn't have to agree with him on that. He can say, I learned the whole concept that with Shur, your potter made modest, I learned it exclusively from the word Anoshim, Veloshonorim, so I don't need a Bala Shonaki, therefore I need it for something else. What else could the owner be Naki from? Must be from Zmeyev. It could be some other stuff. What else? Okay, so the question is, now, when we mentioned in yesterday's Gemara that Rabbi Eliezer had brought up the idea that Bala Shonaki teaches us the potter from Chatzi Kofer, so Rabbi Akiva had pointed out, wait a minute, why do we need the potter to tell us that? The whole point is, when it comes to Chatzi Nezik from a tam, we've said many times in the Masechta already, Chatzi Nezik is paid migufa, it's paid out of the actual value of the animal itself. If the animal itself, for example, drops dead after it gores, then chatzi nezik isn't paid. I mean, okay, you pay out of whatever the carcass is still worth. No, but the point is that there has to be a goof to be paid out of. Therefore, Rabbi Akiva argues that if the ox is going to be stoned and is going to be also b'hana anyway, there's anyway nothing to pay kofer or chatzi kofer out of. Why would you need a posuk to tell us that you're posuk from chatzi kofer? And Rabbi Eliezer answers to him, I'm not talking about a case where the shur is actually chayav skila, I'm talking about cases where the shur might be potter from skila, and therefore you would think that it's chayav and chatzi kofer. Okay, so now we have Rabbi Akiva's idea, that we're saying your bala shur noki means you're potter from paying the 30 for the eved. Again, l'chora, if the animal were a tam, again, you would have the same distinction. In the case of a tam, the 30 would be paid in the gufoi, meaning, again, it would be, b'chora, it would be capped at the value of the animal. If the animal is only worth 20, then that's all you'd pay is 20. Only if the animal was a muad would you pay full 30, because then you're paying minhalbiyah, you're paying out of your own nechazin. So the question is, your name is Rabbi Akiva Lanafshe. Why doesn't Rabbi Akiva point out the same objection against his own shita? Why doesn't he argue the same thing? When it comes to a tam, all payments in case of a tam are made migufoi. Therefore, the mazik can argue, okay, bring the animal to Beis Din and I'll pay you. But there is no animal to be brought to Beis Din because it's given skill and it's also bana. So again, according to Rabbi Akiva himself, what do you need a special limud to teach us the pasuk from the shloshim shel eved in the case of a tam? Tosfos points out, I mean, the Gemara could have just said, okay, you know, I mean, he originally asked the question against Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer found various tirutim to answer him, two tirutim we mentioned yesterday. Okay, Tosfos says, I mean, the Gemara could have assumed maybe that Rabbi Akiva maybe didn't know of those answers. And then once Rabbi Eliezer told him the answers, then fine, he can use them for himself also. The Gemara prefers not to do that. The Gemara prefers to assume that he did know those answers, but holds that they're not applicable to our case. So, Amar of Shulam Rav Yitzchak, Shekodem Baila V'Shachtel. Fine, but you could have a case. Let's say, now we discussed yesterday the case that you could have a case where you shechted the animal after Gemar Din, and then we said it's still also Ba'anah, we learned from the Pesukim. What happens if you shechted before Gemar Din? So right away after the animal gored the Eved, or what have you, or sometime between then and when the case is decided by Beis Din, you go and shecht it. At that point, it's the Mutar Bahana. So, the limud in the pasuk is also Bahana. It's only everywhere.
But
then, yes, it's the point. Mao detained the Shalaminase. You would think in that case, you should argue fine. Okay, you shechted the animal. You now have 30 shkolim worth of meat. Hey, the owner of the Eved, 30 shkolim, 15 maybe, Sassi, whatever. Pay him out of that. Kamash Malon, that is the Chiddush. That Rabbi Akiva is arguing based on the psukim, Hoyul Bar Ktolahu, since this ox is supposed to be Chayav Misa, Afagab the Shachteh, so even if you went and shechted it, which, okay, granted, maybe you're not supposed to do, because the fact of the matter is there is the animal was supposed to get skila. You went ahead and forestalled that by shechting that. Nevertheless, Loy L'Shalamine, nevertheless, the Torah is saying, I abala shonoki that you're still not chayav to pay the shloshim shall evad out of that.
And you eat what you
Yeah.
If it was chayav skila?
But it didn't become chayav skila yet, because there was no gemar din. Once there's gemar din, it becomes chayav skila, and at that point the Torah teaches us sakur yisakur v'loyachol sorry, that's also about not. But here we're talking about it was before gemar din, so yeah.
Well, what happens if they shechted it, and it's before gemar din, the bezin is chal, it doesn't pass for anything?
No, they can still. No, that's the point. In other words, the Gemara is saying, that's the point. That's a couple of Rishonim bring up. I think the Rashba point for it brings up the point that Lechora, don't you have? Ain Gomer Din Shel Shor El Bafana. Lechora, you can only do the Gemara Din if the Shor is present. Okay, but we're saying that nevertheless, as long as the owner is present, that's enough.
So what's the point of making a Gemara Din if we already shifted?
Because the point is, you would think, therefore, so what would happen, let's say it was a case where the shur had gored another shur, where there's chati nezek to be paid, then you would say chati nezek is paid out of meat. No, you shechted the animal before gemar din. I mean, in the case of where it gored another animal, it doesn't really matter whether it was before gemar din or not. You would pay whatever penalties have to be paid, you'd pay chati nezek out of the meat of the animal. You would think the same thing over here, then. Maybe when it comes to the shloshim shalavet, you should do the same thing. You're going to have to give him shloshim worth of meat.
What you win is the fact that this meat is not us.
Yeah, yeah. But no, so that's what Rabbi Akiva is pointing out. From Abala Shonoki, we get two things. Number one, the meat is not us. And number two, you don't pay the shloshim shalavet out of it. You have managed to evade paying the shloshim shalavet in this case. That's what we learned from Abala Shonoki. Then the question is, fine. Then what does Rabbi Akiva have a problem with Rabbi Eliezer before, when Rabbi Eliezer was arguing about Kofer, saying that Bala Shonoki teaches us Yipater from Chati Kofer, and Rabbi Akiva argued, but if the animal is going to be also Bahano, what's there to pay Kofer out of anyway? And Rabbi Eliezer had to find various other answers. He could have just as well used the same answer. Rabbi Akiva should have known that Rabbi Eliezer has that answer available off his sleeve. That the Torah is teaching us a case where you shechted it before Gemar Din and telling us that even in that case you quote from Kofer. The answer is Hachinami. True. Rabbi Akiva knew that Rabbi Eliezer had that answer available. The Saba, but he still figured, he asked him the question anyway, Duma is like time after the Odif Mehai. Still, he figured maybe Rabbi Eliezer has a better answer. And in fact, Rabbi Eliezer came up with better answers.
Which is what?
Which are the two possibilities that we said yesterday. You can have a case where the animal is, where you didn't shech the animal, the animal is still very much alive, but for one reason or another, it's not chayav stila. It was al pi eid echad, the owner was moideh, it was a case where it intended to kill another animal and by accident killed the person, etc. So in all those cases, it's not going to be chayav stila, and yet the Torah is telling us there's still no kosher. So Rabbi Akiva, when he pointed out the objection to Rabbi Eliezer, he knew Rabbi Eliezer could have just as well answered, yes, the Torah is telling us about a scenario where you went and shechted it before Gemar Din, and nevertheless you don't pay chatzikofer out on meat. However, Rabbi Akiva figured, you know what, true, but that's a shvach answer. Let me see if Rabbi Eliezer has something better. And he did. And he did. Okay. In that case, v'neimalei, and that way he would tell him. Hey, but Rabbi Eliezer, nami lishni leisha kodem b'shachtoi. Fine. The fact of the matter is, when Rabbi Eliezer was finding answers for Rabbi Akiva, he didn't know necessarily what Rabbi Akiva was thinking. Why didn't he mention this point also, that I can give you three answers? He gave him two answers, one where it was al-pi eid echad, and two where it was miskaven l'arav of the behema, and in either case, it was chayav skila. Why didn't he tack and mention this possibility also, that the Torah is also teaching us about the case where you went and shechted it ahead of time? The reason is because Rabbi Eliezer would answer as follows. Hasam hu, you know what, there is a difference in the cases that I was mentioning, the answers that I gave. Hasam hu, the niskaven l'hargas v'hema v'hargas adam. In a case, for example, where the animal intended to kill another animal and instead accidentally killed a person. The shirt of lav v'akhtola hu klal, where, in that case, the shirt is v'chlal not chayiv misa. Because it didn't have the intent, yeah. The sakhad adachamin and nichayev, so there you would think, therefore, since the shirt is v'chlam at chayev misa, maybe therefore the Torah would be mechayev you and kofer instead. It's your chrolamotzi. Therefore, Rabbi Eliezer would say, therefore, you need a pasuk to tell us otherwise. But in a case that we're talking about, where the animal was in fact chayev misa, or would have been chayev misa if they'd gotten to Gemar Din. But before Gemar Din ever happened, you went and shechted the animal. Let's start with cross. Rabbi Eliezer holds. You don't even need a pasuk to be mamayik such a thing. I forgot the shachting. Okay, you shechted it, but the fact of the matter is that it would have been chayiv misa.
You managed
to shecht it before Gemar Din. You don't need a pasuk to tell us in a case like that you're still going to be pasuk from you're still going to be pasuk from pay. Because the animal was already on its way to being chayiv misa. If it had been chayiv misa, then you would have to have Rabbi Akiva's objection that once it's chayiv misa and also b'hana, then you can't pay anything out of it anyway, and you don't need a pasuk for that. Rabbi Eliezer would say, yes, you also don't need a pasuk to tell us that if you manage to evade it being chayiv misa, that you shouldn't have to pay out of it. The chiddush would be in a case where it's not even chayiv, with not even destined to be chayiv misa in the first place, because there was no kavana, or because there was only eid echad, or what have you. That then, even then, you pass it from kosher.
And that's
why Rabbi Eliezer did not bother mentioning the possible answer that I'll tell you. The pasuk is talking about a case where you illegally shechted the animal before Gemar Din, because there's no chiddush in that.
If you didn't need it, because you didn't have
it. Okay. Well, then the question comes back a little bit. Kibbe nami bade hachehava. Fine. Isn't that true according to Rabbi Akiva as well? Rabbi Akiva himself, again, we're back to then how does Rabbi Akiva learn, what is Rabbi Akiva using as a possible answer for when he's saying we learn from Baal Asher Naki that you're part of from Shlosh and Shalevet? You're back to the same thing. Rabbi Eliezer then has a good point. There's no reason for the Torah to be telling us Baal Asher Naki only in the case where you shechted the animal before Gemar Din, because there's no real chiddush in that. It's certainly not after Gemar Din, because the animal is also b'hana and there's nothing to be paid out of. So what would be the case? The Torah is telling us about, yeah? So that's the Tosfos made the point before that Rabbi Akiva may hold like the opinion, which we're going to mention tomorrow, which the Gemara is going to mention the opinion of Rabba, that the general rule is, and we're going to have a machlokes over there between Rabba and Abaya, If the animal is not chayav misa, then there's also no kofer. The two things go together. When is there kofer? When the animal is chayav misa.
Kofer and Gemar Din.
The point is, in other words, therefore, so Rabbi Eliezer can use answers. Okay, you can have a case where the animal is not chayav mitzvah. For example, it didn't have kavana to kill the person. It had kavana to kill another animal. So therefore, it's not chayav mitzvah. Nevertheless, you would still think it's kofar, and therefore the pasuk tells us otherwise. Rabbi Akiva disagrees with that concept. Therefore, Rabbi Akiva
says that
if there's no mitzvah, then there's no reason to think you'd be chayav kofar in the first place.
It can only be kofar with mitzvah.
Yeah.
And
Rabbi Eliezer says that there you would think there would be kofar even if there was, yeah. And therefore the answer is that no, there's only kofar in the case of a mor. That's the point. We're saying all of these lamudim are trying to establish that these things, kofar, shloshim, shalevet, or whatever, only apply when the animal is mor, not when it's tam. So anyway, back to Rabbi Akiva then. What would Rabbi Akiva, what is he going to use his limud for? What would be the chiddush in the pasuk that would be saying that even though the animal is where would there be a case where the Torah is saying you pasuk from the shloshim shel eved in the case of a tam, which is being paid megufoi, where the animal is going to be ending up getting skila anyway? Again, L'chora to say that it's only, the Torah is only telling us about the case we shefted it before Gemara Din is a very weak answer.
To explain that he would be potter before.
To explain that the only case where the Torah is telling us, you should know, normally you're going to be potter from the Shloshim Shel Eved by a tam because you're getting killed and it's also Bahana and therefore there's nothing to be paid out of anyway. But I'll tell you, even if you shefted it before Gemara Din, there's no real chiddush in that, though. The Torah doesn't need to tell us that in that case you potter from the shloshim shel eved, because the fact of the matter is the animal was going to end up being chayav mitzvah.
How did you know that?
Because you know there was edim. You know that, I mean, everything you know would have checked. You know, I mean, okay, there could always be. Yeah, there's a very high. I mean, okay, you could always have at the last minute, you know, edim zomim come in or something. But whatever, you know, on the generally speaking, you know, yeah.
Whereas when he didn't know,
okay. Yeah. So Rabasi says no. I'll let me explain it. It's like this: Hi Milsim Pida Gaber Rabba Shmieli. I heard this following verse that I'm going to say from the mouth of a great person, Umanu Rabbi Yosi Reb Chanina. Namely, that I heard it from Rabbi Yosi Reb Chanina. So the question at this point is, what is Rabbi Akiva saying? What is Rabbi Akiva saying? The pasuk is trying to teach us that there will be a case where the animal, the tam, and you're still potter from where you would have thought it's higher than the Shloshim Shel Eved, and it turns out you're potter from the Shloshim Shel Eved. Why would there be a case where you'd think you're higher than it in the first place if the animal is going to be given skill anyway? And even if you forestalled the skill by shechting, it's a
possible skill here.
Okay. So the Masi answers, I'll give you an answer that I heard from Rabbi Yosi B'Chanina. No, it's like this. Shachdat Chamina, you would have thought as follows. Now we know Rabbi Akiva says, we had this earlier in the Masechta, Aftam Shechava Ba'adam, that Rabbi Akiva says that normally we say a tam is chayav chati nezek and a mor is chayav nezek shalom. But Rabbi Akiva holds that's true when the tam damages another animal, but if it damages a person, mishalom amosim nezek shalom, then the owner of the tam still has to pay on the remainder nezek shalom. The remainder, meaning we had a case over there where an animal and a shur get into a fight. Each one hurts the other one. So we're saying that you figure out, you know, the one caused damage of $80, the other one caused damage of $100. So we're saying there's a difference of $20. So Rabbi Akiva says, if the animal, the tam, and certainly if it's a mord, because it was involved in a fight with a person, because it hurt a person rather than another animal, we would still make the owner pay nezek shalom.
According
to Rabbi Akiva. Well, therefore, since he said that, Mishtalam Nami Dmei Eved Mei Aliyah. So you would think by the same logic, when a shur kills an Eved, where after all an Eved is a human being, you would think by the same token, you're paying Min Haliyah. If you're paying Nezek Sholem, the Gemara is assuming you're probably paying Min Haliyah. You're probably paying from all of your Nechasim, not just from the value of the shur. So you would think in that case that yes, if a shur tam killed an Eved, you're not only going to be paying out of the value of the animal, which fine, the animal is going to get skila and it's going to be worthless. You're going to pay Min Aliyah, and therefore you might be on the hook for the Shloshim. And therefore we would say, according to Rabbi Akiva, the Torah forestalls that by telling us a Bala Shonok.
Why would you think that you would pay for an Eved from Aliyah?
Because if Rabbi Akiva is saying that when a Shur injures a person, he's paying Nezek Sholem, even if he's a Tam, we would assume that Nezek Sholem and Aliyah go hand in hand. If he's paying Nezek Sholem, Mistami is paying Min Aliyah. By the same logic, therefore, if a shur killed an eved,
how do you know that that applies to an eved?
Because an eved is a person also.
An eved is considered like karka.
No,
it's
an eved. But when it comes to kinyan, when it comes to matters of kinyanism and things of that nature, an eved is considered like karka. So in this case, the Torah clearly says, I show you sokol, that a shur kills an eved, the shur gets skilum. So we see, for that purpose, the eved is like any other person.
And therefore, shalom.
So therefore, nezek shalom, and therefore, presumably, min aliyah. And therefore, the Torah would have to there was a heckish between avodah and karka. Okay, so that's not relevant, right? Okay. However, amalei Rav Zeira lo rabasi, however, Rav Zeira asked rabasi, that still doesn't work. V'atavir Rav Akiva l'gzize. But we know that Rav Akiva actually broke the gzize literally means his fist. He broke the power of his limb. D'tanya, because even though, in other words, you're assuming that Nezek Shalem and Aliyah go together, but they don't. Rabbi Akiva clearly says that here they're different. D'tanya, Rabbi Akiva, Yachol Yishalem in Aliyah. You would think in a case where I'm talking about where Tam injured a person and you're saying you're making the owner of the Tam pay Nezek Shalem, you would think you pay him in Aliyah. No, Tam Adlaim, Kamishbat Azeya Ofu Loi. No, because the Pasuk says, according to this rule, is done to him. And from the word Loi, we learn Migufo Yishalem Ve'en Yishalem in Aliyah. You're still only paying Migufo. So, back to the case. So again, according to Rabbi Akiva, a shur tam injures a person, you're paying nezek shalom. Fine. But you're only paying that nezek, unlike usually nezek shalom would be min haliyah, here you're paying migufo. Well, by the same logic, there's no reason to think that killing an eved would be any different.
An
eved is a full-fledged Jew. There's no difference between him and any other Jew. He was talking about an eved. He's talking about an eved. So, by the same logic, according to Rav Akiva, if a shur tam killed an eved kanani, then maybe nezek shalom, maybe 30 shalom, but you're not paying min haliyah, you're paying min gufoy. See, back to the question. If the animal is getting skila anyway, there is no gufoy, why would we think you'd be able to pay it, you'd have to pay it anyway?
We said previously you would pay me.
We thought that's what Rav Akiva meant to pay min haliyah, but now we have a braisa that clearly says that not. That says when an animal injures a person, you're paying nezek shalom, but you're paying migufo. And by the same logic, if the animal kills an eved, same thing. Maybe you're back to migufo. Yeah. No. Ella Omar Rava, no. Okay, I'll give you a different answer. It's fine, but according to Rav Akiva, we need the pasuk to be telling us that you pasuk from the shloshim shel eved in a different case. Not in a different case. Just based on the following logic. Start with that, and you would think to say like this. Because after all, we see the Torah is machmer on you. When the animal is a mu'ah, the Torah is more machmer on killing an eved in a certain way than killing a regular person, a free person. Because when it comes to a ben chorin, the amount you pay as kofer depends on the value of the nizik. If the nizik was worth more, you're going to be paying more. And if he's worth less, you're going to be paying less. So if he was only worth a seller, if he was an old sick person, and he's only worth a seller on the slave market, let's say, that's all you'd pay as a seller. Whereas when an eved, even if the eved is only worth a seller, you're still paying shloshim. 30 shloshim, yeah. So the Rashba points out, okay, you could also have a kula. I mean, you could also have a paket. If an eved is worth 100 shloshim, you're still getting away with paying only 30.
Yeah,
the fact is, he says most avodim are worth less than 30. So we see there's a certain chumrah. We see there's a certain chumrah in an eved over a ben chorin. You would think mishdalam namid me eved min haliyah. Maybe taka then Rabbi Akiva would be machmer on the shloshim shel eved. In another way, he would say that yes, the nezek for a tam hurting a regular person, a ben chorin, is only migufoy, but maybe the shloshim shel eved is min haliyah. And you're back to, in that case, that if it's min haliyah, doesn't matter whether the shur is getting skiller or not. Either way, all your nechasim are on the hook for that 30. And therefore, no, the Torah tells us, tell us not like that. It is, in fact, paid me gufoy, and since the animal is getting skiller, there is no gufoy, therefore that's it. There's nothing to be paid out of.
End of story.
Yeah. And in fact, Tanya Chava said, the Rabbah, we take to learn a braisa like what Rabbah said. When the pasuk says bala shor naki, Rabbi Akiva Omer naki mid me'eved, it means that the Torah comes to teach us that the owner of a shor tam is potter from the payment for the eved. Incidentally, by the way, Tosis brings up a point. When we're saying he's potter from the shloshim shel eved, what about though if the animal is a tam? Is he chayav for the actual value of the eved himself? Fine, maybe he's not chayav the knas of 30, but the eved was worth 5 shloshim, let's say. Is he chayav to pay that or half of that? So Tosfos brings two possibilities. One is that Taka means that Rabbi Akiva is saying he's only faulted from the 30, but maybe he's Taka higher for the value of the Eved. Or maybe not. Maybe it means that not. No. So
I would be good for it.
Okay, so but then you'd have the case, let's say you shechted it or whatever, then you wouldn't pay that. No, the five for the Eved, let's say you'd pay out of the goof of the animal if it didn't get skilled for one reason or another, or if you shechted it or whatever. Mm-hmm. But then Tosfos brings another possibility that maybe you're not. Maybe it means you pulled it from everything.
Okay.
Anyway, so the Braisa says, you're going to knock him in May, but it's because, v'haloidinu, because you would think to make a mamotzinu, a binyan av, as follows. We find the Torah is behind your pay if you sure killed an Eved, and the Torah is behind you to pay when you sure killed a Ben-Chorin. So now, when it comes to a Ben-Chorin, the Torah makes a distinction between Tam and Mord. You're not paying Koper the animal of the Tam, you're paying Koper of the Mord. You would think, therefore, maybe when it comes to an Eved, maybe also there's a distinction between Tam and Mord. And not only that, let's make a kavachomer. Uma ben chorin shenoisim polshavi madachor by ben chorin. That when you pay kofi, you pay the full value of the person. Chilakta by ben tam lemord. You're making a distinction between tam and mord. Eved chain and noisim al shloshim. In the case of an eved, where you're only paying 30, even if the eved is worth much more than that. Shouldn't it be a kavachomer then that you make a distinction? You only pay the shloshim when the animal is a mord, not one of the tam. However, you could argue back, why? Maybe you could argue the other way around, which is the svara that Rav said before. Machmirani be'eved yotzei ben chorin, because after all, there was a certain chumrah in an eved more than a ben chorin. Shemen chorin yotzei sela noisim sela shloshim noisim shloshim, because by ben chorin, if the guy is only worth a small amount, you're only going to pay a small amount of koker. Be'eved yotzei sela noisim shloshim, whereas with an eved, you're always paying 30, and again, like the Rashba said, most avodim are worth less than that. So therefore, there's a certain chumrah in an eved over a person, over a regular person, over a ben chorin. Yochol yehei chayev. So therefore, based on that, you would think maybe you should be chayev, even if the animal was a tam. Maybe you should be chayev with an eved. Therefore, tamad lemo, v'al asher naki, meaning naki midmei eved. That is why we needed the pasuk v'al asher naki to tell us not like that. So not any cases like we were talking about before where you shechted the animal ahead of time or whatever, but rather, if it were true, Bala Sharnaki, you would have used that Tavachimer to say that you chayev something when a Tam kills an Eved. And therefore, Bala Sharnaki tells us not. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.